for the sake of my knee, I'm not going to try climbing the steps. So I'll just stay here for this morning again. But from Parade magazine comes a story of the self-made millionaire Eugene Land, who greatly changed the lives of the sixth grade class in East Harlem. Mr. Lang had been asked to speak to the class of about 59 sixth graders. Well, what could he say to inspire these students, most of whom were likely to drop out of school? He wondered how he could get these predominantly Black or Puerto Rican children even to look at him. Scrapping his notes, he decided to speak to them from his heart. He said, "Stay in school, and I will help pay for your college tuition for every one of you that stays in school." And at that moment, the lives of these students changed. "For the first time, they had hope," one of the students said. "I had something to look forward to, something waiting for me. It was a great feeling." And nearly 90% of that class graduated from high school. Everyone needs to have hope. Survivors of the concentration camps after World War II were asked how they managed, and many responded by saying they had held on to hope. Survivors like Viktor Frankl or Jack Mandelbaum emphasized that maintaining hope, even in the face of overwhelming despair, was essential for survival. And that hope was often rooted in having a purpose, such as reuniting with the family or desire to tell their story or their faith. What are you hoping for? What are you hoping for today? Maybe healing from an illness, looking forward to a new job or finding a job, better relationships, winning the Powerball. Some people are hoping for snow because they like to go skiing. Other people are hoping for no snow because they don't want to shovel. What are we hoping for? Well, at the time that Jesus was born, the people were hoping for the coming of the Messiah. And we read one of those promises earlier from the prophet Isaiah. They were hoping for the Messiah who would come and take vengeance on their enemies, overthrow in their day the Roman rule over their lives. And their hope was based on God's promise to send a Savior. Jesus came to fulfill that promise, but not in the way they were expecting. They were hoping to be saved from the wrong problem. They saw their problem as a political one. They were looking for a political savior to overthrow the Roman government, set them free from the oppression of Rome. God, however, saw their problem as a spiritual one and sent Jesus to set his people free from the rule of sin. If we place our hope in anything in this world, we will be disappointed. No matter who or what that might be, whether it's human reason, institutions, our own strength and abilities, it will crumble. Instead, let us look at the foundation that we can trust to last and base our hope on that. And that brings us to our morning scripture passage, Matthew chapter 1, verse 21. Shall we read together? "She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." The name Jesus. The name stood for the person, their character. When a parent, back then at least, named their child, it indicated their hope for that child. Well, in this case, the angel told both Joseph and Mary individually, this is the name that you are to give your child. We're familiar, of course, with Jesus. Back then, it would have been Yeshua or Joshua, which means Yahweh saves. Yahshua saves. The Lord is salvation. And interestingly, that name is paralleled by another Joshua from the Old Testament who led the people of Israel out of the wilderness into the promised land and led them in overcoming their enemies there. Just as Jesus spiritually saves us and leads us into a new life. Jesus came for a purpose. Actually, Jesus came for many different reasons. But the primary reason, as illustrated in his name, is that he came to save us from our sins. Not just to be an example for us, or a teacher, not to be a deliverer from Rome, but to save us from ourselves. To save means to rescue us, to set us free. And this salvation was not just something for the future. It was something for now. Not only for eternal life, but it's intended to change the way we live right here. Jesus saves us from the presence of sin. He cleanses us. He washes us away so that we can stand before God clean. He saves us not only from the presence of sin in our lives, but from the power of sin. Because before coming to Christ, we were sinners. Well, we still are, but then we had no choice. We were ruled by sin, slaves to sin, as Paul would say. But Christ comes to set us free from that power so that we can live lives pleasing to God. It doesn't mean that we will never sin, because we will, but it does mean that we don't have to sin. We now have the ability to say no to the temptations, to obey God. So Christ saves us from the presence of sin in our lives, the power of sin over our lives, and the penalty for sin. We are saved from God's wrath because Jesus took that for us when he went to the cross. And that's the salvation that gives us hope. That is a hope that we can base our lives on, that we can hold on to, even through the most difficult times. Hope that our lives can and will be different, that we can face whatever problems we have in our lives. A number of years ago, some researchers performed an experiment to see the effect that hope has on those undergoing hardships. Well, they set up a strange experiment. They took laboratory rats, and they divided the rats into two groups. The first group, they set in the water and left them in the water. And they discovered that within an hour, they had all drowned. They had given up hope. But the other rats were put in the water, but then periodically lifted up out of the water and then returned. Well, those rats kept on swimming for over 24 hours. Not because they were given a rest, but because suddenly they had hope. Those animals somehow hoped that if they could stay afloat just a little bit longer, they would be lifted up again. If hope can hold such power just for unthinking rodents, how important is hope for us? That trust that we can hold on just a little bit longer and that God will lift us up. God has reached down to us to rescue us, and that is found only in Jesus Christ. He is the sure foundation that we can put our faith in. Jesus Christ is the only one that we can look to for salvation. Peter, in his sermon in the book of Acts 4:11 and 12, says about Jesus, "He is the stone that you builders rejected, which has become the capstone. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved." Why Jesus? How is he able to save us? How can he give us hope? Well, first, because he lived the perfect life. He obeyed God consistently. He did for us what we cannot do for ourselves. In his perfect life, God sees what he then gives to us. His righteousness becomes ours as our sin became his. Jesus is our Savior and gives us hope because he died in our place. He gave his life for us, the perfect sacrifice. And then by rising from the dead, which is the guarantee that his sacrifice was sufficient, that it was accepted, and it opens the way for us to be able to go into God's presence. Jesus came to save. But who does he come to save? Notice the words of the angel. "You will call his name Jesus because he will save his people from their sins." Doesn't say all people, but his people. God desires that everyone will be saved, but it is those who believe, those who will put their trust in Jesus, who actually receive this gift. In the Gospels, Jesus says to those who don't believe, which were usually those self-righteous religious leaders, "Depart from me. I never knew you." He came to save his people, those who belong to him. Not good people, not righteous people, because really there are no such things. Matthew 9:13 records Jesus saying, "Go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. For I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners." And that's good news, isn't it? That Jesus came for the broken. Jesus came to give hope to the hopeless. Jesus came to be a light for those who are lost and walking in darkness. He came for people like us, imperfect, but still loved. Luke 19:10, Jesus said, "The Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost." In John 10, Jesus calls himself the Good Shepherd, that famous chapter, "I am the Good Shepherd, and I lay down my life for the sheep." But later in that same chapter, he went on to say that people who do not believe are not his sheep. Jesus came to save those who will believe, who will put their faith in him. The world around us may seem dark. Our problems might seem overwhelming, or we may feel that we don't have that strength to just go a little bit further. But instead of giving up, we can know that this is only one side of the picture, and that while we can't see the whole thing, God does, and he will fulfill his promise. A man was approaching a Little League baseball game one afternoon, and he walked up to one of the little boys in the dugout and asked, "What's the score?" The little boy responded, 18-0, we're behind." "Boy," said the spectator, "I'll bet you're discouraged." And the little boy looks up and says, "Why should I be discouraged? We haven't even gotten to bat yet." Also often, we get discouraged and are ready to give up before we've even gotten into the game, before God has really gone to bat for us. So we go through this Advent season Let us give thanks for that great salvation God has given us through Jesus Christ, celebrating his coming and being ready for his return. Paul writes in Titus, "For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age, while we wait for this blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good. May we live our lives faithfully as his people, knowing the hope that Jesus came to give us and looking forward to the fulfillment of that hope when he comes again. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you that you did come in Jesus, that you gave us that promise for forgiveness and that promise of his return. Come, Lord Jesus, fulfill your promises, establish your kingdom. In the meantime, rule in our lives, Lord. Let your light shine through us for the glory of your name. Amen.